All right. I don't leave the house without mascara. I don't know. It's my thing. Don't judge me. I wake up in the morning. During my quiet time, I put on my mascara because it just takes a long time. I need many layers. So that's just me. So when I was at Trader Joe's the other day and this woman kept staring at me, I automatically assumed it was because my perfectly coiffed eyelashes. But she kept staring and staring, and I was like, it can't be my hat hair, nor can it be my leggings that are 62 years old. But she really was staring hard. And usually I'll just, you know, ignore her and smile back, but it was intense. She was staring at me. So I assume she just recognized me from the neighborhood or from school or something. And so instead of my normal ignore and move on, I said, "Hey, hi, do we know each other?" And she said, "Do you know how much you look like Celine Dion?" And I said, "I am Celine Dion." Now, no one told me that as I grew older, I would resemble Celine Dion to a blind lady that wandered into Trader Joe's, or that most of the talents and accolades that I have accumulated over 60 years would mean absolutely nothing to my children or my husband or anyone. That they don't care I was voted best pledge sister in college. Hello, that's an accomplishment. I could do the splits. I was a cheerleader in junior college. Nobody cares about that. No one told me that marriage is hard, that emptying the dishwasher should be a punishment for people who do really bad things. And no one told me that an apple a day just makes me crave cupcakes more. There are a lot of things that people do not tell me. And there are a lot of things that no one told me about being a parent or a mom. So we're going to just take 2 minutes at your table. I want you to think of the craziest thing that's happened to you that no one told you about being a mom or a wife. So go. All right, so you know, there's a lot of things people don't tell you. It's like, it's really rude that you're supposed to be a parent, you're supposed to be a mom, you're supposed to be a wife, and there's so many things that people don't tell you. You know, and they don't make you fill out an application, they don't make you go to any special classes. If you're nursing a newborn, raise your hand. Okay, no one tells you your nipples are gonna fall off in a week. Like, you're going to have to wake your husband up, say, "Beware, my nipples are somewhere in the living room. I don't know where they are, but you're going to find them." Or when you turn 40, your uterus drags between your ankles. So, you know, be careful. My uterus is down there somewhere. Please don't step on it. I feel like if it was more of an application, something we filled out where people had to talk to us and discuss this journey that we're going to go on as mothers, that, you know, we just need, like, more hoops to jump through. Like, just give me more hoops. Because, you know, even adopting a dog, there are several hoops you have to jump through to adopt a dog. First of being, you have to be 18. Oh, gosh, you don't have to be 18 to be a parent. They just let you have a child. There's an application that you have to fill out to be an adoptee of a dog, of an animal. You have to fill out an application. They ask you things like, "Where's the dog going to sleep?" Okay, they don't ask me that as a parent. "Where's your baby going to sleep?" I don't know. I'll figure that out when I get home. They don't ask you who's financially responsible. I don't know that either. I don't know. I have no idea. They ask you that when you're going to adopt a dog. Have you budgeted money? No, we have not budgeted money. I don't know how much things are. But they ask you that when you're going to adopt a dog. I'm having a child. I don't know. I have it. I go home. We figure it out, right? But there's lots of things we don't know, lots of things people don't tell us. And as a wife of 32 years and a mom of 4 adult children, I want to share with you some things that people don't tell you. You guys are on the internet a lot, so if you've heard all these things, I apologize. All right, the first one, here we go, is you're under surveillance. Your children are watching everything. Your neighbors are watching everything. They're recording everything you do. Isn't that precious? Yes. everything we do, they are watching. I know that sometimes we forget this. And speaking of prayer, I often say, Lord God, help my children to forget everything that I've said in the last 24 hours. Well, as I observe my kids and their actions, even now as adults, I understand that they had to learn how to be judgmental and critical from somewhere. And it's obvious they learned that from my husband. But they're watching. They're watching everything. They're watching how I react to the slow cashier. They're watching how I react to the server who has passed my table 7 times and knows that my water is empty. They're watching how I react to my peers and to my husband. So if I want to raise kids and continue raising kids who are selfless, who are kind, who are polite, who are humble, I need to be one of the best models of that. And as a follower of Christ, I am always studying the Bible. I make it a priority because I can't live life without it. And the truths found in God's word are amazing, but we have to put them into practice. And I need to read more of God's word in order to discover these truths and in order to have the reactions and the responses that I will feel good about, that reflect Jesus, that reflect who I am as a follower of Christ. Hebrews 10:24, there's a slide, says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I understand that my actions, my responses should reflect what I'm reading in the Bible. Otherwise, I am just absorbing knowledge without reflecting what I've learned. It would be like when you look in a mirror, you're typically looking in a mirror to make a correction or to see what needs to be corrected. Is there something in my teeth? Is my hair wonky? Are my eyelashes perfect? But when we look in God's word, it should also be a reflection of things we need to change in our life and doing things that will reflect. Now we are, if we call ourselves Christ followers, we are the reflection of God to a world that is looking at us. They're looking at us through social media. They're looking at how we react. And so in all aspects of my life, I ask myself some questions, and here they are. Do I fabricate or manipulate on social media? Am I on my phone instead of listening to others? How much time do I spend reading God's word? And I don't mean hours, I mean frequency. Do I gossip when I'm on the phone with friends? Am I taking care of myself? Do I ask for help? What are my habits? Are they healthy? And have I had a sufficient amount of cupcakes and coffee? That's always the go-to. So as we go through and we discover things about parenting and being a mom and wives and friends and daughters, there are a lot of things that people don't tell us. One of them is that we're under surveillance. The next one is this: stay in your lane. Now, I am an expert. I'll just let you know. People are experts in something. I am an expert in making sure I know everybody else's faults. I am really good at that. I love minding other people's business, and my kids are very annoyed by it. This meme I thought was so funny. It says, is it the next slide? Hey, found your nose. It was in my business again. So we were at Barnes & Noble one day, and I had two of the kids with me. I call them the little kids, and they're 20 and 22. But I had the little kids with me. We were at Barnes & Noble, and I walked in, and there were lots of people in Barnes & Noble. And they had stacks of magazines next to them and stacks of books sitting in the cafe with books and magazines that they haven't purchased yet. And it was really annoying me. And I told my kids, I don't think they've purchased those. They could not have cared less. They're just like, who cares, Mom? Move on. No, it's really bothering me. Like, why do people come to, it's not a library. It's not a library. Why do they come to Barnes & Noble and get a stack of books and read books for free? I'm going to ask the girl. Mom, do not ask. Oh, I'm asking the girl. I'm asking her. So I walked, I said, does that bother you? Does that bother you? They're like off 1,500 feet away from me. Does that bother you that people come in? She's like, they do it all the time. I know, but does it bother you? Like, that's weird to me. Well, I just need to go move on because the girl didn't care. Nobody cared. The people reading the magazines didn't care. The millions of people who walk into Barnes & Noble and don't notice, I'm the one who notices. I care. I need to stay in my lane. But I really wanted to send an anonymous text to my girlfriend who on Instagram said, oh, my star athlete son. I'm like, oh, your star athlete son who is really mean. The one who like has a secret Snapchat account. That son, that one. Do you know about that one? Do you know what he does? He throws a sandwich away at lunch. Do you know that? I could spend a lot of time worrying about other people's business and what they're doing or not doing correctly, but I need to stay in my lane. There's a story in the Bible about John the Baptist, and all that John the Baptist needed to do, he spent his entire life telling people about the coming Messiah. Who would be Jesus? John was remarkable in staying in his lane and minding his own business. Jesus said of him in Matthew 11:11, among those born of woman, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Whoa. So I know as I focus on staying in my lane that I not only help myself, but I also benefit others because it is not my responsibility and it is absolutely exhausting trying to fix everybody else's problems. I've tried. 1 Thessalonians 4:10 says this, we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more and to make it your ambition to what? Say it. Lead a quiet life. You should say it loud. Mind your own business. All right. Another thing people never tell you, so they don't tell you to stay in your own lane. Well, maybe some of them do. They don't tell you that you're under surveillance, and this one, they don't tell you to ignore the size and wear what fits. With regard to clothing, researchers measured 1,000 pairs of women's pants, size 4, and found as much as an 8.5-inch variation. So I don't know about you, but no one ever walks up to me and says, oh my gosh, those pants are so cute. What size are they? Well, my mother does that, but that's the only one. According to Susan Head, a body image specialist and clinical psychologist, size is the latest way to evaluate self-worth. I love this meme. It says, welcome to women's clothing, where the sizes are made up and the labels don't matter. So I believe the same is true when we wear a role that's ill-fitting, when we try to be someone we're not. When my self-worth is in jeopardy because of my discomfort, it's because I'm trying to do something that I wasn't created to do. In fourth grade, I was going to be Cindy Crawford. I had the legs, but that was it. So I decided to go to a modeling class. And when I went to the modeling class, they told you that when you put your legs together, they had to touch at your thighs and at your knees. Well, mine did it. And evidently my breasts weren't big enough. So I had a lot of issues. But I tried. But I realized quickly that I was not going to be a supermodel, but I really wanted to be. But that was definitely an ill-fitting job that I tried to put on myself. So when we try to do something that we weren't created to do, when we try to be someone we aren't, and we just try to be ourselves, it's always best. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking to a group of people at the church in Corinth, and he's reminding the people that while they all have different gifts, they are all useful. Now, it says this, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. To one, there is given a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge, to another, faith, to another, teaching, and it goes on and on. I know that if we all in this room had the same exact gifts and talents, that would be really, really boring. We are all unique. We are all masterpieces created by our Heavenly Father to do different things. Do some of us share the same gifts and talents? Absolutely. But we are all created differently to do different works for the kingdom of God. And if we are created for a special role, it's going to feel so much better when we're in that role. Custom-tailored clothes, I've heard, I've never had the opportunity to experience, but custom-tailored clothes are measured according to your body. They fit you because they are done because of your measurements. So when we pull clothes off the rack and put them on and go, ugh, this doesn't fit, my body's messed up. No, it's not, the clothes are messed up. We don't have custom-tailored clothes, but you serve a Heavenly Father who has custom-tailored you. He has custom-tailored you with skills and talents and gifts that have been just for you. And this is also a lesson that I'm learning to process as I go through social media and say, I wish I could sing. I wish I was better at that. I wish I was a better that. I am exactly who God wants me to be. And I am exactly in the role that God has created me to do. And I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be at this time. So God has given me the warning sign of trying to avoid to be someone I'm not. God has custom made you, and he's custom made me. We are uniquely handcrafted by the creator of the universe for this exact time and for this exact role. Will it change and shift? Sure. But you were created to be who you are today. You hold within yourself a box full of talents and giftedness, some of which you don't, no one at your table knows about. There are things that you can do. There are superpowers that you have that nobody knows about. And you know that you're already really good at microwaving chicken nuggets. You're really good at that. But what about everything else? Now, I happen to be really good at encouraging and praying. I love to pray for others. I'm good at art. I'm good at organizing. I think I'm good at snow skiing and baking. I love doing those things. What about you? What are you good at doing? What do you embrace that you've kind of pushed down a little bit? I want you to take a few minutes, and if you have a blank piece of paper anywhere near, I want you to write down 5 things that you're good at doing outside of what you do with toddlers. I'm going to have you share with your table because I know this is a vulnerable thing for you to do because, unfortunately, you think if I tell people this, then they're going to hold me to it. No, they're not. No, they're not. Just wear it, claim it, share it, okay? I'm not going to take you up to the mountain and show you that I know how to snow ski. Nobody cares. But I want you to put yourself in a little bit of a vulnerable position. I want you to share with your table. You are going to do this rocket speed. So you're just going to go, here are my 5 things. Ready? The person with the longest hair is going to go first, and then you're going to go clockwise. Go. All right. I know this was a hard exercise for some of you, because we are so used to giving and we're not used to sharing what we're good at doing because we think our identity is in what we do and it's in who we are and who God's created. So as long as we look at this list, all right, you ready? You guys, take a deep breath. Was that okay? All right, didn't you learn a little bit about each other? You're like, you're going to come over and take care of my plants and you're going to help me exercise. And you're going to pick up but not clean, and you're going to, yeah. All right, next one. You ready? Here we go. 10-minute sex is still sex, all right? Here we go. So why do we have to talk about sex? Because we should all be having sex if we're married. That's why. Because I'm the marriage pastor, and it's in my contract. I have to talk about sex. Sex is a healthy part of every marriage, but I promise you I will not have you leave here feeling guilty. That's not my job. And for those of you who are raising kids on your own without a spouse, my heart breaks. And you have permission to tune out and doodle and roll your eyes for the next 5 minutes. If we all waited until we felt like doing something in order to actually get something done, we would actually do nothing, okay? So when was the last time you felt like cleaning the toilet? Nope. How about going to the baby shower? Sorry, nobody wants to go to a baby shower. How about just getting out of bed? How about just getting out of bed? Like, oh my gosh, these covers, they're horrible. They're so warm and disgusting. I want to get out. I never wake up and think, oh, I cannot wait to get into my daily routine. It just is like the joy of my life. Nobody ever does that. And so, if you do, if you're one of those people who just cannot wait to throw off the covers and get your day started, you are Jesus. That's fine. Okay. But I quite a bit of research. We have has found an association between marital bliss and an active sex life. So before you throw your head back and grind your teeth, studies show that couples who engage in sex once or twice a week is above average. Okay, that's a solid B. Like, I could embrace a solid B, above average, once or twice a week. That's a B. And if you think that 90 minutes of pillow talk and play and cuddling is required, think again, my friends. Just show up naked. It's not difficult. The length of sex considered adequate. Do we know that word, adequate? I want you, we're not trying to break records here, but I want you to guess. What is the amount of actual sex required to be adequate? Give me a minute. How many minutes? 10? 5? Okay, here we go. You ready? Adequate is 3 to 7 minutes. Woo! 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 I could do that. I could read a book and have that happen. For the most ambitious, which I know are all of you, 7 to 13 minutes was considered desirable. Okay, that's not bad. All right. One of the most best things you could do for your kids is to model a healthy marriage and investing 3 to 7 minutes of sex once or twice a week is a solid B. That's good. I like it. We're not looking for A pluses here, people. So people never tell you that you're under surveillance, ignore the size and wear what fits, stay in your lane, and that 10 minutes of sex is really, really amazing. And the last one is this, embrace boredom. So one day when our youngest was in elementary school, he told me he was bored. And I said, I don't care. And I ignored him. And so he came in again and he said, I'm bored. And I said, figure something out. So after a few minutes, I noticed he was in the backyard. He had a life vest on, like a life vest, and a golf club. And I'm like, okay, he's either golfing in the pool or swimming in the dirt. It's fine. And then he began jumping off ledges and pulling twigs down and doing, you know, all kinds of things. And as the sun began to set, I knew he had homework to do. And I said, hey, buddy, what are you doing? And he didn't hear me. And I said, hey, what are you doing? And he popped up and he said, pretending. I'm like, yes! He was pretending. So being bored isn't such a terrible thing. When our kids get bored, it forces them to be imaginative. It forces them to be creative. So before feeling the pressure to engage in their boredom, if they can't figure out an option, let them stroke their imagination for a few minutes. If they're throwing a tantrum and crawling on the floor saying, I'm bored, have them count how many specks of dust they can find on the floor as they're screaming. But before we engage in electronics or helping them to do something, I always love the option. There is always something to clean. The tires of your car, the utensils, the dog, their toys. There is always something to clean. The windows, even if they aren't prepared to know how to clean, they can pretend. So there are a lot of things people never told me. And I'm sure that as you have talked through things that people have never told me, you will begin discovering your own list. And even if you were better prepared, and even if you planned better, it could all change instantly with each and every child. You've got it nailed on the firstborn and then the secondborn. So there's always going to be something shifting and changing. But I do know this, that the only sure thing is God and His Word. And I just want to encourage you to read the Bible daily, to pray often, to ask for help, and surrender everything else to a loving God who cares deeply for you and cares about everything that you care about. He knows the pain. He knows the struggle. He knows the joy. He knows the pressure and everything in between. Let me pray for you. Oh God, these are your daughters. They bring you such joy and delight. And God, we are on this journey together. You know that we don't know what we're doing, but you know what we're doing. And God, would you give each of the women in here, I know they're coming in here with pain that people don't even know about. They're bringing burdens. There's things happening, God, that are outside of their control. But God, would you help them to just relax and to know that their God, the creator of the universe, who created the heavens and the earth with his strong hand and outstretched arm, loves them deeply. And you care about everything that they care about. God, raising kids and being a wife and having a job and all these things is a lot, and you know it. And God, I just pray that you just encourage them, inspire them. Would you lift them up? Would you make your face shine upon them? And would you just bring them joy that can only be found in you? It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.